Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Open the Book of Mormon, and the first words you will encounter are these. The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealing with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. We are told that the Book of Mormon is the record of two great civilizations. The first, the Jaredites, left the Tower of Babel and immigrated to the Americas 2,200 years before Christ. The second migrated from Jerusalem around 600 BC and then divided into two great nations, the Nephites and the Lamanites. The Lamanites were said to be white and exceedingly fair and delightsome. However, due to sin, the Lord God did cause a skin of blackness to come upon them. Well, the lone Nephite survivor in the final battle with their Lamanite enemies was allegedly a mighty military commander named Moroni. And along with his father Mormon, Moroni is said to have inscribed the most correct of any book on earth, and that in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, and then buried it in the hill Cumorah. After being resurrected as an angel, Moroni appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith and instructed him relative to its destined translation into the English language. Well, in due course, Smith found golden plates along with a pair of magical eyeglasses, and he used them to translate the Egyptian into English. The result was a new revelation and was called the Book of Mormon. But there's a problem. No archaeological evidence for a language such as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. No archaeological evidence for the great civilizations touted in the Book of Mormon. No archaeological evidence for lands such as the land of Moron, described in Ether 7:6. No anthropological evidence that the Nephites and the Lamanites migrated from Jerusalem to Mesoamerica. Indeed, both archaeology and anthropology militate against the people, the places, and the particulars that are part and parcel of the Book of Mormon and demonstrate conclusively that the book is little more than the product of a fertile and enterprising imagination. The reason I cite this at the opening of the Bible Answer Man broadcast today is simply that the Bible has been roundly denounced in the same way as the Book of Mormon. It has been denounced as a cleverly invented story. But unlike the Book of Mormon, the Bible is buttressed by history and evidence. And while the archaeologist Spade continues to mount up evidence against the Book of Mormon, it has piled up proof upon proof for the people, places, and particulars that are inscribed on the parchment and papyrus of biblical manuscripts. In other words, via archaeology, you can be absolutely certain that what is chronicled in the Book of Mormon is false, and just as certain that what you find in the Bible is true. I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken, where I use archaeology as the centerpiece of demonstrating that the Bible is indeed divine as opposed to merely human in origin. If we are going to say the Bible is our authority, we had better know that it is in fact true, that these are the words of God as opposed to merely the words of men. Has God Spoken? Available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants as well, that number 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, Rona. She's listening in Texas on the web. Hi, Rona.
Yes, sir. Hello, Hank.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're
first
welcome.
And foremost, I want to say I was tuned in with your broadcast via a friend that encouraged me. And my question to you, sir, is because of my schedule, I've not been able to attend church on a regular basis, so I seek, TV church, as it would be, and I read the Bible constantly, first thing, up in the morning, lunch break, and even when I get home. And I even have watched an individual, Creflo Dollar. Have you heard of him?
I'm very familiar with him, yes.
Okay. I had to turn him off because I wasn't really sure, but he started to correlate a lot of scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6:17, Ephesians 3:16, John 1:16, Hebrews 12:23, Philippians 2:5, 1 John 4:17, and he took all those scriptures, tied them in together, saying because of those scriptures that we were equal with God, because of our Holy Spirit, that we're able to be the same, if not like God, here on earth, and that the Holy Spirit speaks, through us. And I kind of got a little uneasy about that because I figured God is always above me. I could never be equally yoked with Him.
Yeah, well, this is one of the big problems of the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement teaches what is called the Little God's Doctrine. And the way in which they teach it is decidedly unbiblical. There is a place for saying that we can be deified, just as Peter talks about deification. But that's a moral transformation of our nature. In no sense whatsoever does the Bible ever teach that we can become reproductions of God. We reflect God, but we're not reproductions of God. We share in a finite, in an imperfect way, the communicable attributes of God: spirituality, rationality, knowledge, wisdom, and the like. But we do not have the nature of God, nor will we ever have the nature of God. Even in eternity, we will not have the nature of God. And yet, Creflo Dollar says, when God made Adam, all he did was make an exact imprint of his self. He duplicated himself. You are an exact duplicate of the image of God. And again, that is not only false, but it is heretical. We bear the imago Dei, in other words, the image of God, but that is a reflection of God's communicable attributes. We do not share the incommunicable attributes of God, nor will we ever. I've written about this in great detail in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David, listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Recently got your book, The Personalized Collector's Edition, The Collector's Edition. Love it. It has edified me, and I just appreciate your ministry.
Oh, thank you.
My question is actually along the same lines of the last question, out of Genesis 3:22, and the scripture is, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. I was wondering if you could expound on that.
Yeah, well, this is where we had the opportunity, speaking about the parents of humanity, to either trust God as the arbiter of that which is true and that which is false, that which is right and that which is wrong, or we could imbibe moral relativism, where truth would be in the eyes of beholder, where we would say what is right and what is wrong. That is essentially the test which came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are we going to determine that which is right, or is there a divine North Star that sets the course of our life?
Okay, that helps a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I give further detail on this in the same book that I mentioned earlier, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Back with more questions and answers in a moment.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shirley in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. My son knows the Bible cover to cover. He's got a photographic memory. He's studied it. He's studied the history. He has determined that the Bible is just a good storybook. And he's decided that there is a creator, but it's not God. It's not any one creator. And he's come up with his own religion. And I keep telling him, you know, religion is Baptist, Methodist, that mine is although I'm Baptist, I go to a Baptist church. Mine's a relationship with Christ is what I have. And, of course, he tries to be respectful, but still he snickers because he doesn't believe that Christ died for our sins or any of that. I don't know how to, and my memory's not as good as his. I've read the Bible cover to cover twice, and I continue to study it every day. But what do you say to someone like that?
Well, first of all, bless you for continuing to read the Bible and for recognizing the fact that your son doesn't recognize. The Bible is not just a book of stories. The Bible is rooted in history and evidence. And anyone with a photographic memory that has read the Bible cover to cover would know that. Not even on the basis of just believing the Bible, but simply reading the Bible. The Bible corresponds to history and evidence. The people, the places, and the particulars that you find in the Bible are cooperated by what is found in the soil. So, for example, if you go back to the Enlightenment, there were all kinds of people that said, the Bible's just a big bunch of stories. The Assyrians and the Hittites are mythological. Well, then Hattusa, the chief city of the Hittite Empire, was uncovered. And then later on, Layard, the great Assyriologist, uncovered Nineveh, which is the diamond of Assyria, and it's embedded in the Golden Arc of the Fertile Crescent midway between the Mediterranean and the Caspian Seas. And he discovered there Ashurbanipal's palace to the north and Ishtar's cultic temple and Sennacherib's palace. So what was found in the soil ended up corresponding to what is found in Scripture. So we can know that the Bible is rooted in history and evidence and is not just a bunch of stories. And interestingly enough, even the most secular of skeptics today, by and large, confirm what you have said about the death and crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's just a historical fact. Christ was a historical person. He was crucified, and archaeology has cooperated even the details with respect to how crucifixion took place in the Roman context. I mean, obviously the Romans didn't invent crucifixion, but they perfected it. It was invented by the Persians. Not only that, but the Bible gives us history long before the history actually takes place, which is to say it is foretelling the future. And so it's like, wow, it's like reading the history of nations before the nations even come on the scene. So in Daniel, for example, you have a graphic depiction of a succession of nations from the Babylonian Empire to the Babe of Bethlehem to the coming of Jesus Christ. So all of that simply undermines the contention that the Bible is just a bunch of stories. The Bible is rooted in history and evidence. And that's why we have maps in the Bible, by the way, because what you find in the Bible is rooted in real history and real evidence.
But then he turns right around and he says, why would you want to believe in a God that kills innocent women and children? You know, because he went in and he said, cleanse it. And I told him that that's a cleansing, that to protect our people from exposure to their gods and their ways. But he said they killed innocent. God ordered them to kill and destroy innocent children.
But again, that simply belies a proper reading of Scripture. A text without a context is a pretext. God's commands to destroy the nations inhabiting the promised land should never be interpreted in isolation from context. So the command to destroy them totally is contextualized by the words, "Do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your sons and daughters away from following me to serve other gods." This is what you are to do. Break down the altars, smash down the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, burn the idols in the fire. So the aim of God's command was the obliteration of wickedness, not the obliteration of the wicked. And all one needs to do is look at how that cashed out in real history. So, for example, Rahab, was she murdered? No. Was she killed? No. She was not only allowed to live, but she was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so what God does, in essence, is he creates human beings with volition. They have the ability to act or to act otherwise. If God hadn't done that, then love would be meaningless. If the only way you can get your son to love you is to hold a gun to his head, love doesn't mean anything. So God creates people with the ability to choose. And because he does so, he created the potential for evil. Now, I didn't say he created evil. I said he created the potential for evil. And there's a world of difference between those two thoughts. Humankind actualized that evil, and yet God, in his mercy, unveiled an ongoing redemptive plan by which we could be reconciled to him. And that is anyone who wills. C.S. Lewis was right when he said there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." So God has provided a way for every person to be reconciled to him, and so we have a perfectly holy and a perfectly just God who manifests love to the greatest extent imaginable, whereby Jesus Christ is willing to die so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. So I think someone that reads the Bible with an open mind will be convinced of the evidence. And the reason I can relate to your son, because I was once there. I used to think the same thoughts, but it was because I was prejudiced against the Bible and never took the opportunity to read the Bible with an open mind. And I think there's a difference between reading something and reading something with an open mind. If you read something with the idea of I'm trying to poke holes in it, as opposed to reading it with the idea of I really want to understand what it says, those are two completely different ways of reading.
Mm-hmm. He consumes all of my Bible studies when I'm done with them like a dry sponge, but yet he swears up and down, God created Satan. God created evil. So what's wrong with evil?
Well, no, God didn't create evil. That's the mistake. God did not create evil. God created the potential for evil. And you have to make that distinction.
That's what I said. That's what. So I am right. That's what I said. I'm right.
You are.
How do I make him see that?
Well, you don't. You know, you do what my mother did for me. You pray. You know, a mother like you is a blessing to her son because, you know, you can testify to your son by your life and by your love, and if necessary, you can use words. But my mother, she didn't have the right words to say to me. She didn't know how to counter my arguments, but she did know how to spend a lot of time on her knees. And so I look at my own conversion as a direct result of a godly mother who spent a lot of time on her knees.
Okay, I keep thinking that there's something I should do, I know there's a lot I should have done when I was younger, but, you know, past is past, and now it's just too late, and so I figure...
How old's your son, Shirley?
Well, I guess he's 28.
Oh, well, let me give you some hope. You know how old I was when I was converted to Christ?
How old?
29.
Oh, that would be such a blessing.
Well, keep praying, Shirley. Yes. Yes, and equip yourself. You know, and if he throws you a curveball, say, you know what? That is a really good question. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll find the answer for you. And then you call me or you find the answer, and then we'll take it to the next step.
All right. Will you please pray for my son as well?
I will. I only have a few moments to do so, but I will do so after we go off the air as well. Father, be with Shirley's son, and be particularly with Shirley. May she be a testimony of your grace, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Amen. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.